The spirit of performance defines Acura. And now, it's electric. Introducing the all-electric ZDX, Acura's most powerful SUV yet. While what powers their cars may change, the energy that makes Acura never will. Crafted using the same formula that brought them electrified supercars and multiple IMSA championships, the ZDX has track-tested performance that packs an energy all its own. With a premium Bang & Olufsen sound system and up to 313-mile range on a single charge, and a Type S variant with an estimated 500 horsepower, the ZDX is everything they said electric could never be. It was built with the driver in mind, just like Acura has been doing since the beginning. We could talk all day, but the only way to experience this electric performance is to drive it yourself. Unlock the energy and order yours at Acura.com.
Market insight and analysis. You're listening to the opening bell of CNBC's Squawk on the Street.
Good Friday morning. Welcome to Squawk on the Street. I'm Carl Quintanilla with Jim Cramer and David Faber. A little risk on bounce to close the week as China cuts a prime rate. Hong Kong up 3% overnight. It is expiration day. Plenty of earnings to watch on what is likely the seventh consecutive week lower for stocks. Our roadmap begins with futures pointing to a decent open. China's central bank makes an unexpected rate cut as growth there crumbles.
And shares of Amazon, well, they're down 30% in a month. Citi removing it from its focus list. Plus, it is the one industry Jim says is booming. Actually watched you do this on Mad last night about defense. Regardless of what happens with the Fed or economy, we'll tell you what it is. Oh, I guess I wasn't supposed to tell everybody what it is.
No, man, you just gave it away.
Sorry about that.
It's Friday.
Yeah. It is Friday. We're going to try to salvage what we can of this week. Jim will watch expiration, but you had the China 5-year prime rate get cut. UK retail sales, decent. Those are the things we're painting our hat on today.
Our economy is stronger than China's.
For the first time since 76?
That's a remarkable thing. We're at an interesting moment. I know that the Wall Street Journal had a piece yesterday that was just very telling, which is that there's a lot of cross currents, but China's weaker. Russia may have overstated. It could be America's time. And I think that maybe some of the dollar's weaker now, but maybe part of the strength in the dollar is just a recognition that everybody else is just doing terribly. So I don't know. I mean, I know it's hard to be bullish on a stock, but the country itself is a place that you would think people would want to invest because we're doing better. And we have democracy. It's not like we're like, well, but you know,
to the point you're making, the dollar is an important thing to put up there. It is sucking capital out of China and bringing it here. Now, they've also had in the past, they've had to defend the currency,
right?
Spending an enormous amount of their reserves to a certain extent, having what in 2015, they want to avoid that scenario in China as well.
August of 2015?
Yes.
Wow.
I think it was what the journal. I mean, this is a very good story in the journal, sort of giving you the history. A trillion dollars. Almost $1 trillion in foreign exchange reserves to arrest the slide in their currency.
They have a $17 trillion economy. So, I mean, I think that what's happening, David, is that even though we don't see anything good in our stock market, globally, we are attracting money. It's just not going into stocks.
Where's it going?
It's going into bonds. I think that, take a look at what the 10-year, remember the 10-year was, I mean, all we did was fret the 10-year. I mean, I went home one night and I said, my wife says, well, you look so unhappy. I said, the tenure? She says, the tenure? Like someone didn't get tenure? I said, no, tenure, like the bond.
Well, a bit of a slide in yield lately. Yeah. So.
No, bit of a slide. David.
I'm thinking back. It was maybe late last month when B of A said go long 10-year, target 2.25. Mm-hmm. But you said that might be a little extreme.
That was extreme, but I just think that things got a little too crazed. But I do feel that yesterday, this week, and I'm doing some work with great Larry Williams, who's a great market technician and historian, the advanced decline is actually up this week. That has not happened in a very long time. So you have the advanced decline up while the averages are down is historically the beginning of what could be a very powerful move. And I think that that's not talked about enough on air, that the market underneath, the underpinnings of the market was actually positive this week.
So you're talking about a powerful bear market rally or something
different? Yes, yes, powerful bear market rally.
Which you would be looking to sell rips?
Yes, I would. But the market has 75-day cycles. I know this stuff sounds, David, you might think it's fanciful. Mm-hmm. But this is pretty much day one of a new cycle today.
Today is day one of a new cycle.
Yes.
But how should we be taking these bear market rallies? Because there is a belief that until you really know when the Fed is going to be done, you just can't see the end here.
We have to feel
we seem to be accustomed to like whatever turbulence is in the market resolves itself in a short amount of time. Not happening this time.
Jay Powell has to get off this 50-50 thing. I mean,
I know you keep saying that.
50-50. I mean, come on. The 50-50 happens to be a fantastic Tuscan wine, and that's about it. The Avignese, have you had it?
I have not.
I'll get you a bottle.
I appreciate that.
But I think that you have to do is reposition. You have to go to Lockheed Martin. I mean, one of the things, like, you know, leader, I don't know if you've been following what's going on in the House.
The House of Representatives.
Yeah. But the amount of money they want to give Ukraine, Leader McCarthy, I mean, I'll tell you, it didn't stop at $40 billion. But the thing that's really important is that we have to rebuild everything that we gave them. We have to arm Finland.
Oh, now you're talking about what we teased. The defense sector is being a play. Yeah.
I mean, now. You have to. Germany has to insert. What's the matter?
Nothing.
It's going to happen.
No, I'm not saying it's not going to happen.
So these are Lockheed Martin and Raytheon are the two, AeroVironment. But we, you know, our arsenal, which is of democracy, is vastly depleted. And Leader McCarthy is going to push for a lot more money.
Yeah. Well, the G7 Finmins have a communique out today. Almost $20 billion of budget approval, budget support for Ukraine.
Yeah. So I just think that that's just going to be you reposition into something like those stocks right there.
Right.
They're all good, but they're all going to get great because we have no choice. We have to replenish what we sent over. AeroVironment, by the way, has only sent 700 Switchblades. There's 1,500 tanks.
All right, so that's your recommendation
is to rotate
into defense because...
And also healthcare.
And healthcare.
Yes,
that's
because those are
where
two
you
areas
see the money that, being spent.
Well, because if Powell does slam on the brakes, like I think he has to because it's runaway inflation, healthcare does well. And because of the fact that we have to replenish our arsenal, defense does well. And we let all the defense companies merge. There's only a couple of them.
Yeah, they did merge.
Right.
There's no more consolidation
I'm
expected.
New thesis.
Which is?
What happens if antitrust? What happens if Jonathan Cantor decides to go after some of these companies that all merged?
You mean try and break them up?
Yes. Not go after
tech. It could be very tough.
Not go after tech.
What would you have in mind?
I'm working on it.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Okay. It's a thesis.
It's a thesis. So you haven't proved your thesis yet.
You have to first have a thesis.
Yes. Then evidence rolls in. Data.
Yeah.
Can Carl and I be the judge, you know, the panel? That you have to present to?
No, because you always let the facts get in the way of the story. It drives me crazy.
This is kind of like an oral doctorate exam.
Yeah, right here. I did well in my generals.
I'm sure you did.
Thank you, because I just didn't go to sleep. It's 24 hours. I'm serious. I think that we're like we're in a kind of a crossroads here.
It's interesting you mention that, because, I mean, listen, you know, legislation coming out of the House or Senate, who knows whether it has a real lifespan that will actually get to the president's desk, but the Senate bipartisan coming out against Google saying you got to split up the ad business.
That's FTC. I'm talking about serious antitrust. You know,
what do you mean that's FTC? That's they're trying to craft a law.
No,
that
I'm
would
just
say,
saying that the focus is going to be on real companies and whether supply chain got hurt because of the lack of competition in this country.
Okay, so you don't want to talk about the idea that the Senate is trying to pass a bill that would break up Google.
No, because that'd be the greatest thing in the world. Google double. Hey, by the way, Andrew
no,
has
that would be it's just its ad business.
Andrew has double Ruth next week.
Who?
She's the CFO of Google.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't hear you.
I think David knows who Ruth Porat is.
Yes, I didn't hear you.
Yeah, but Andrew's got a good interview next week.
Oh, Andrew. You see, that's why. You didn't
Andrew
even say her name.
Andrew works on
I'm
the morning show.
I'm supposed to infer. Andrew, yeah, okay.
He's Ruth a more Porat. Andrew Ross Sorkin.
Yeah.
You might get his deal book thing.
I love Andrew Ross Sorkin, but I didn't think he was the CFO of Google.
Just stay focused so we can do the A block here.
Well, Jim, speaking of mega cap tech, Citi today removes Amazon from the focus
list. What is that? Do you see what the price target is?
They do cite what they call macro uncertainty. They reiterate a buy, target 4,100.
But they downgrade.
Yeah, it's weird. It's still a top pick, but it's off the focus list.
No, that was totally befuddling.
But you have some thoughts here on AMZN.
Well, look, I think that Amazon's now come down to the point. I've been waiting for Amazon to come down to the point that the only thing you're really paying for is Amazon Web Services. And I thought that downgrade marks the bottom for Amazon. Because now we know that Amazon's problems were the same problems that Walmart had and Target, and not Ross Stores. That's a whole other thing. But that Amazon's come down enough that you're no longer paying a premium for what, David, is a pretty darn good business, which is Amazon Web Services.
It's a great business.
It's a great business.
It's still growing at a
and
very
Amazon
rapid rate.
And Amazon advertising's great.
Having more competition than it had perhaps a few years ago from the likes of Microsoft and
obviously, they were overstaffed. That did matter. So now this is beginning to
not in Amazon Web Services. You're saying in the traditional, the logistical side of their business.
I don't think anyone actually works in Amazon Web Services.
It's got incredible margins. The advertising business for them also has very strong margins.
So now we know that their retail business was not, it's actually probably better than some of these others. And they will take action. They will let people go. I think Amazon's bottom.
All right.
I sold a lot of Amazon for my trust. I want to buy it back.
So down 30% over a month is enough to get you interested.
Well, it's more than that. It's that people felt that they had lost this great, that they had this great retail business, and maybe everybody has gone away from them, going back to brick and mortar. Mm-hmm. And then when you saw brick and mortar, it was worse than them. Remember the fabled comments by Brian Cornell about what people wanted? What were the two things that people bought?
Luggage.
And
sunscreen.
And what did my Ollie's Army pitch today I got? I'm a member of Ollie's Army.
Yes, yes.
They have a coupon for sunscreen.
It's important to put on sunscreen.
Ollie's
make
was
sure to apply.
Ollie's
and
went
also,
from neutral to buy.
A few hours go by, you apply again.
No, David, I am saying that
it's very
Ollie's
strong,
must
son.
Have an algo, which is like when Brian Cornell says they want sunscreen.
I know what
but
you're
that's
saying.
A limited group of things that the public wants.
Public service.
Go back to Amazon for a second.
Yeah.
I am saying that I thought the problems were with Amazon, and it turns out that April was a horrible month. March was just okay. The problems are not with Amazon.
All right.
But it's with the
you're
stars.
You're a buyer here. We should mark it down, whatever the price is today. You're a buyer.
Fine. Well, yesterday was June 7th at 10:39. You said
10:36.
I think that Jassy has had enough. I think Jassy is done. I think Jassy's going to go into overdrive. I think Jassy kind of, for a moment there, I was a little focused on some other things. Jassy's focused on money.
You see Bezos tweet the other day, the old cover from Business Week, where they were basically ridiculed for starting AWS, and that investors wanted them to stay focused on North American retail.
I think Solipsky's really good at AWS, and I think now that we know that
the profit engine of the company,
that all the other retailers were doing horribly, it's time to circle back to Amazon.
It's interesting. I mentioned this yesterday, but I do wonder. For example, a giant hedge fund like Coatue, which has owned many of these FANG names in the past, certainly growth, had incredible performance in 2020.
Yes.
They are running 14% net exposure, 23% gross. They have 80% in cash.
80% in cash, and I'm paying them 20% for that?
You are, but my point is, how much of the selling has taken place in so many of these high-growth names that have gotten absolutely crushed? And, we always talk about risk-off, but how much of that has actually occurred now amongst, obviously, only one asset class here, hedge funds are not the market.
We also had another survey this week.
But they do trade a lot.
It said the individuals have all fled these. I mean, if the hedge funds have fled them and the individuals have fled them, Carl, that's what looks like a good moment to buy.
Because no more marginal buyers?
I don't think so. I don't know what the people are doing at Robinhood. I don't know.
I don't think they're doing much.
Buying shares in, I don't know, PGA tournaments. Like Robinhood is now like DraftKings. Actually, I like DraftKings more than Robinhood.
We do have B of A, for example, today suggesting that 3,600 is the new bull case. That you need to apply not a 19 multiple, but a 14 multiple.
Oh, that is just too, no.
On a new, it's a longer term picture of inflation. If you lose the trade benefit, things that Ken Griffin was saying yesterday.
Right. Well, if J-PAL moves aggressively and the Chinese get off this ridiculous policy,
which they don't think is ridiculous. They have this board of scientists apparently say it's right. But if Jay Powell, the worst thing that's happened in this market was when Jay Powell said, you know what?
Not going to do 75.
Yeah, that was it. He lost the leverage. So he has to go
those
on.
Are two big ifs,
he has
Jim.
To go on like
you
Jimmy
just
Fallon.
Gave us two big ifs that are unlikely to change. I don't well, I shouldn't say unlikely.
No, you don't know that.
I don't know.
If he goes on Jimmy Fallon,
I'm
what
talking,
is he
what about China? You think they're going to change their zero COVID policy?
I think that
they didn't sell a car in Shanghai
Not a single car.
Not a single car.
I think that President Xi.
Not one car.
I think President Xi for life. Big election coming up in November. It might actually be like the Pennsylvania Senate, Republican Senate election.
He clearly thinks there's some benefit to being so strict about trying to prevent any spread of COVID.
But he's
that
wrong.
He will benefit from
he's
that.
He's wrong. He's a Luddite. He's what?
He's wrong.
He said,
of course, you would know better than he.
It's like when Stalin, he's a Stalinist scientist, Mendel. We really have to, you can't sell nothing. You can't. In the largest city in the world, you can't sell nothing. I mean, not that I'm like speaking to him directly, because I don't think he's as tuned into our show.
Yeah.
But they have to, the policy must change.
Well, the president is in South Korea today. He toured the Samsung plant. Talked about bringing some of those jobs here. But he did say that history is going to be written in the Indo-Pacific. I'm sure you agree with that.
I do. I think that I don't understand how the South Koreans get such favored nation autos to us if he's so pro-union. I mean, the president has a lot of work to do in terms of trying to make. I just wish he spent all his time in California, but I think he may be pro-longshoreman union. It's the stevedores. I mean, they're killing us. They're killing us. It's like on the waterfront out there. It's like Lee J. Cobb.
Yeah.
Nobody's working.
They're not working.
No.
Well, Chuck Robbins yesterday indicated he's concerned about port backups in L.A. again if, in fact, the Chinese do follow your advice and open things up again.
No, Chuck, that interview with Chuck was basically, listen, we got to, like, everything's too hot. You just got to slow things down. Got to get rid of inflation by crushing inflation. And we can do it because the American consumer is more flush and because it's really still easy to get a job. Now, a lot of these retailers are talking about the stimulus being over. It's very illuminating. The Ross Stores was very illuminating. It was an out-of-body, horrible call. It was horrible.
Okay.
But they said, you know, one of the reasons why people aren't buying things is Ukraine. Well, no, I get that when Gary Freeman says it.
Well, we are. We're spending a lot of money on Ukraine and not necessarily stimulating
you're not
anymore.
Buy a handbag
not on COVID.
At Ross.
COVID relief is not.
But you know, Ross Stores is like, it's not like $500 furniture.
No, but Bed Bath Home is a quarter of their revenue, which is you've been talking about for a while now.
It was a horrible call, and there was just absolutely nothing that was positive about the Ross Stores call. Nothing.
It's being described as a very somber call.
It was. It was somber. It was an ode to how we don't know what we're doing. Versus, say, Nikesh Arora's call from Palo Alto. Now.
That was a call, huh?
Bull market in. And by the way, the ransomware is just. I know that the journal said that there's been a cessation out of Russia. No, I mean, it's hotter than it's ever been.
We're going to get to Palo Alto up 12 in the pre-market.
Yes.
And we'll get to AMAT and Deer and Dash and Deck, Foot Locker,
wow.
VF Corp. There's a lot of micro to talk about this morning on this important options expiration day. A little bit of green on the screen. We're back in a moment.
Hello, I'm Laura Castleton, U.S. Head of Portfolio Construction and Strategy at Janus Henderson Investors. Is a brighter future possible? At Janus Henderson, we think it is. For 90 years, we've worked to help clients achieve superior financial outcomes and fulfill our purpose of investing in a brighter future together. We know that this means our thinking and our investments are helping to shape millions of brighter futures for the next 90 years and beyond. To learn more, go to janushenderson.com.
CNBC has quick and easy to understand business news updates at the open, midday, and close every weekday. Markets, money, and more from Wall Street to Main Street. I'm CNBC's Jessica Ettinger. Follow and listen to CNBC Business News Updates wherever you get your podcasts.
Elon Musk striking back against these sexual harassment allegations. It's in response to a report from Insider, which says that SpaceX paid $250,000 in 2018 to settle a sexual harassment complaint claim. No lawsuit was ever filed, but in a series of tweets, Musk called the accusations utterly untrue, adding, quote, "The attacks against me should be viewed through a political lens. This is their standard, despicable playbook, but nothing will deter me from fighting for a good future for your right to free speech." CNBC has reached out to SpaceX for comment, but has not yet heard back. One thing we do know for certain, Jim, is it's no longer the top holding in ARK.
I thought that was amazing.
Which has now been supplanted by Roku.
Yeah. It's, I'm waiting for, what is it, Burning Man, that biotech that she has?
Yeah.
Burning Rock? See that one?
Although I will say, SpaceX, by the way, last I looked, and I think it's been reported, $125 billion valuation based on the last, they were creating some liquidity for existing employees.
Wow.
$70 a share is where they're. It's not a public company, but that's
the old days.
But that's 125. That's up 25% from the last round. In this market environment, by the way, where almost most private investments are coming down dramatically, SpaceX is going this way, in part because of Starlink as well, and what seems to be the early success of that.
I just think that service. That's a crazy valuation. Did you guys see what he was?
Why?
Look at this. What was the last IPO you see?
SpaceX is sending rockets all over the place.
Starlink
potentially has a real opportunity to deliver broadband service. I mean, look what they did in Ukraine.
He's in Brazil right now talking about access, internet access.
Well, look, I think you
need to rethink your thesis on this one, Jim.
I just think the valuation is out of whack with what the current market is saying about great growth
Not
stocks.
Tesla. I'm talking about SpaceX.
No, I'm talking about SpaceX.
Oh, okay.
I'm saying that growth stocks, unless we crush inflation, do not get that kind of premium. By the way, did you see what Musk wants to call when there's something?
Yes.
Elongate. You think it's funny?
Kind of. What?
Basically, he said, if there's ever a scandal about me, promise me you'll call it elongate.
Thank you.
I thought that was fantastic.
I didn't see that one.
Elongate.
I get it.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's funny.
Yeah, I thought it was too.
He's a real joker, that Elon.
I think he is. Yeah. I think he is.
We'll get Cramer's Mad Dash countdown to the final opening bell of the week. Don't go away.
CNBC has quick and easy to understand business news updates at the open, midday, and close every weekday. Markets, money, and more from Wall Street to Main Street. I'm CNBC's Jessica Ettinger. Follow and listen to CNBC Business News Updates wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, we'll count down to the opening bell, squeeze in a mad dash. Carl mentioned a lot of the names we haven't gotten to, including Deer. Stocks looking down on earnings.
Yeah, looking down on earnings. The forecast happens to be quite good, though. And I was looking at news items by John Ellis, who's a newsletter I love in the morning. We have a level, we're on the brink of famine around the world. 250 million people facing famine. Maybe another billion that are going to be, it's very hard to feed. And a lot of this is the 13% of calories that are locked in to Ukraine. They can't get them out. It's going to start rotting. So I think that as much as, by the way, AGCO is cheaper than Deere, if you want to know, and more and much bigger in Europe than Deere.
Right. Deere's Ukraine, the breadbasket of Europe, and unfortunately a lot of countries that are already always on that line will go over it in terms of
and the Russians are targeting
true food shortages.
Right. Russians are targeting the farm equipment.
Right, and preventing exports.
And won't let you get the food out. So I
that's
think
a humanitarian crisis in the making.
Right, so I think that...
Now we come back to Deere.
Right, so I mean, Deere's going to be down big. Look, the net income is up 17%, diluted earnings per share 20%. It wasn't a bad quarter. And they had very good ag, I know, turf, but I know people don't care about that. In precision ag. But the thing I would just point out is that why would you sell this stock knowing that we're on the brink of famine and you need to have tremendous ramp up in ag. AGCO again, more bigger in Europe, and there are very bad tariffs on Deere. But anyway, just an idea.
Let's get the opening bell here. And the CNBC real-time exchange and the big board is Claros Mortgage Trust, celebrating a recent listing at the NASDAQ. It's Climate Rock, a SPAC focused on an acquisition within sustainable energy. Pretty nice breadth here at the open, Jim. You know, it's been a week of retail blowups, but between DEC, Foot Locker and VF, and there's some things to like.
Yeah, we had one of these things where we better than feared. These were BTFs, David. All of them were better than feared. I mean, I was expecting quite a bad number from Foot Locker, and obviously we did not get it. Deckers, there were a lot of shorts in the name. People thought that was going to blow up. No. And these were obviously way out of whack with what everything else. Foot Locker yields 5%. They did the number. People hate Nike, by the way. And yesterday, Sarah had an excellent interview with Kevin Plank. I touched base with Kevin after. I mean, there is definitely, Kevin's not going to take this line down, but Nike's multiple is still high. But I do think that Foot Locker should influence Nike a little bit more. I mean, Nike, obviously, if they're not selling any cars in Shanghai, they're not selling any Nikes either.
Right. Foot Locker comps were negative, but not by as much.
Not as bad.
And they do guide to the high end.
Yeah, I think in light of what's happened this week, that anyone said anything good. And then they're buying the Chinese stocks again, which I find so painful. Money's going right back, David, into the Chinese stocks, as if nothing's happened and China's fine.
Well, I mean, there may be an opportunity. These stocks are all down sharply.
Cute.
And not just from the slowdown in the Chinese economy and the inability of people to go out, or even perhaps participate online, I guess, and be sure they're going to get deliveries, but from the changing rules in terms of technology companies, which they are now easing to a certain extent, but that also pressured this group throughout the last 12 months at this point.
I guess so. I think that so many of our viewers have lost money in China. It's incumbent upon us to point out that these rallies tend to last 3 days.
I mean, look at that. It's down 61% over the last year.
That's suboptimal.
It is.
But anyway, just be careful. Reposition out of those on the third day. Because the Chinese only have so much firepower. You can't just keep lifting the market.
I did want to come back to Amazon because you sort of had an interesting call on it today, thinking that it's bottomed. You know, there is a question, though, about margins. And obviously, we saw what happened with Target, inflation, fuel costs, transportation, wage pressures, EBIT down, 20% there. We obviously saw what happened with Amazon in terms of wages, fuel cost issues, oversupply of workers. But what about on the margin side? I mean, have the PEs adjusted for the expectations that margins are going to be under pressure, Jim?
Great question. I guess I'm thinking about that you have this Amazon Web Services business, which we all know is really powerful.
Yes.
The actual multiple is still way too high for Amazon. But Amazon Web Services is one of the fastest growing businesses on Earth. And we now know that the retail business they didn't lose share. And they have to lay off a lot of people. Who knows what the actual number is? They have way too many people. And so Amazon, like, by the way, Meta, Facebook, these places are all coming to realize, you know what, we were hiring and hiring and hiring, and we've hit the wall. And if they've hit the wall and they're good business people, then I think that a guy like Jassy says, all right, we're done. We're done spending all this money. We're going to go back and be more rational. By the way, Shipt, which I use all the time, the Target thing, we use Shipt all the time for bad money. And it's like somebody will say, like Dylan Rebeck will say, I need a Diet Coke. Let's get that from Shipt. I mean, these places have to start charging a little more because people are abusing the heck out of them. They are. Hey, you know what? I need some Ritz crackers. Let's ship that over. I mean, honestly, I mean, they've got to stop it. I don't think people realize how much this price war is costing these companies. They need peace. They have got to stop it.
But I mean, for things like that, you've got the private company GoPuff, which that's their business. Delivering
DoorDash,
you.
DoorDash, how about Tony Schiavone?
I'm just saying that
left out of all these conference calls was the absurdity of how much people are abusing their same days.
Sure. We haven't mentioned the buyback over at DoorDash, $400 million to offset some of the dilution from RSUs. Kind of an interesting turn of strategy on some of these names, right, Jim?
Yeah. Yep. I think that Tony Hsu's an honorable fellow, and he's trying to figure out exactly how to keep people with DoorDash. There was a Grubhub fiasco this week, which I don't know if you saw the Grubhub or all the Dashers. I mean, everybody switched to Grubhub because Grubhub had this
promotion.
The promotion.
Yeah.
I mean, every restaurant was hurt by it. Everybody was hurt by it. But no, Tony Hsu is showing great honor there. What a terrible stock. Airbnb, terrible stock. And it's doing, the company's doing okay. They're going to make a billion, you know, it was more than a billion in cash.
A couple of days ago, Morgan Stanley pointed out that RevPAR, global RevPAR overall, is still doing well, but May's beginning to show a little bit of toppy action, which would have huge implications for hotels and Airbnb.
Yes, it would. Now, you don't want to own those stocks if the Fed does this 50-50 thing, because it's obvious that they're long-dated assets, and a long-dated asset is losing value.
It's interesting on the DoorDash, just to come back to it, as Carl said, of course, done to offset the dilution potentially from RSUs that they issue to their employees, which is part of their compensation.
Right.
I brought this up before. We've seen it in other periods where there has been a significant downdraft in, broadly speaking, technology stocks, particularly growth ones, where they, these companies, especially earlier stage, a lot of compensation is made up of stock.
Right.
Well, and then the employees are like, I don't want any more stock. Well, I want cash.
Historically,
which obviously has an impact on your margins.
Historically, you have pointed out over and over again that the earnings are facetious because of how much you're paying with cash.
It's adjusted EBITDA, and they adjust for things of that nature.
But those Zoom 400 RSUs, when they said 400, how's that doing?
Not good.
No. A lot of people in this country, Carl, a lot of the younger people thought that the way that they could get rich is to go to these NASDAQ companies and take stock.
Yes.
And they're not rich. They're looking for other jobs.
It depends on the window. If you hit it right, you got rich. I mean, if you joined in 2019 or 20 and you got out in 21, you're all right.
Yeah. Needham's done some work on, for example, Netflix. I think you'd have to have joined before 18. In order to be in the green now,
yeah.
Take cash,
black,
right? Take cash. Don't take stock.
Don't. No, I know. Even for our own parent company.
I took stock.
How you feeling about that?
Fine. I like the yield.
Actually,
I reinvest.
It's held 40 pretty well this week.
It's my entry point.
Down less than the S&P. It's only down 15.8%.
I did. I mean, I'm not here to talk about how much I bought or anything, but I bought a lot.
Do you keep it or sell it?
What?
When it comes due, do you sell it because it is part of compensation, or do you hold on to it?
I actually went in the open market and bought one.
Oh, you're really?
Wow.
Yes.
I did.
You're all in.
I bought 5,000 shares in the open market.
No kidding.
Yes, I did.
Of Comcast.
Yeah. Yes, of Comcast.
It's the one individual name we can own, by the way.
At $40 and 40 cents.
Oh, you're up.
By the way.
Well, no, I'm up. I mean, I'm not flipping it.
What do you mean you're up?
Anecdotally, we've seen some buying at Shop, Spotify.
There's been insider buying.
Today, Wayfair and Coin even.
The insider buying has been extraordinarily strong. The advanced decline has been extraordinarily strong. We're in a seasonally great moment, and yet everybody's gloomy. I made my Amazon call. You look at me like I had like three heads.
No, I didn't. Only two.
Five heads.
Two heads.
Well, but I bought in. I did buy stock in Comcast. I didn't tell my wife.
Well, now she knows. Actually, she doesn't know because she doesn't watch the show.
She's never seen it. She only knows Mad Money.
Yeah.
Speaking of Mad Money, John Oliver. You had Palo Alto on last night.
Yes.
They do guide above. And Aurora talked to you a bit about how business is going. Want to take a listen?
We've seen tremendous numbers of supply chain attacks. People have gone and hacked pieces of infrastructure, whether it's a SolarWinds attack or the Log4j attack or the Exchange server attack. Now, what that happens is those things are being used by tens of thousands of customers out there. And that becomes a backdoor for all cyber attackers to be able to go through those vulnerabilities and park themselves in those infrastructures and then over time move laterally across that enterprise and then go ahead and shut them down and demand ransom.
I thought this was really important. This moment is the moment where you say you have a company that has a long conveyor belt of product. They shut it down, and until you pay them, they will not start it up again. They're in charge. They are in charge of your operation. That's what they do. They embed themselves, and you have to pay them off. And that's what Nikesh is stopping. But that is the most frightening and current thing that the bad guys are doing. They're going into your factory through the back door and shutting your assembly line and saying, look, your company's out of business unless you pay.
Unless you pay ransom,
and so
basically.
People are paying.
I guess you have to,
they
right?
They have to.
Yeah.
I mean, I suggest in the cash that until someone's prosecuted for paying ransom, these companies are going to just continue to pay ransom. Look at that, will you?
I mean, that's quite a... Now, why? I mean, is that all off of the back of Palo?
Yes, it is. Now, Nikesh would say he's taken share from CrowdStrike. Mm-hmm. Zscaler doesn't really have competition. NetEase is not a factor. Fortinet, he recognizes, has some good things going. But Palo Alto is taking share. Now, CrowdStrike, they often disagree with that. But I think Palo Alto is in a very good position. By the way, they had 40% earnings, 40% order growth. 40%. This was his 16th conference call. A lot of people felt that he was going to come in and just literally just keep buying and buying and buying. He is a soup to nuts suite of on-premise, off-premise, and his products work fantastically for work from home. And so you've kind of got a, you're protected across the board versus, I'm dealing with a company right now that is, that got hacked. And I'm also know someone who got really hacked and they're not getting the money back. In a credit card situation, and it's very true that what Nikesh is saying is, it's everywhere and no one and everyone sworn not to talk about it, but that it is everywhere. And any business that thinks it's invulnerable is wrong.
That's fascinating, and we talked a lot about the space lately on AMAT, Jim. Very basically, demand's never been better. Clear path to $1 trillion semi-market by the end of the decade.
Yeah,
although a bunch of price target cuts today.
Okay, so Gary Dickerson, whom I love and is terrific, was saying, okay, the next 6 months are going to be tough, a la Chuck Robbins, but 23, 24, we're sold out. Now, look at how short-term this miserable market is. They listen and care about the 6 months, but do they even think about the fact that they're sold through? And by the way,
can you revoke orders in some way? Can you cancel orders?
Well, the only places they're being hurt on TVs, they're being hurt on low-end PCs, and they're hurt on low-end phones. That's where all the pressure is. And again, we come back to, they're not buying TVs, I guess, in China. Best Buy reports next week. I think it's an inexpensive level. I would buy some of that. But the Applied Materials call shows the short-sightedness of this market, because Gary Dickerson ends it with just a note of hope, kind of like,
But so did Chuck Robbins yesterday during our interview with him, talking about the fact that he obviously continues to see real growth in the business, pointing to the backlog as an example of
you
that.
You know, I thought that Chuck told a very good long-term story, very bad short-term story. But if you and you know what, if you solve ports and this and that, or those ifs are all almost too great to ponder. But Chuck was right there saying, listen, we've had the best orders. This, you know, we actually made the number. We beat the number. We're going to buy back stock. And nobody cares. I mean, it's like, get me out of this one. And today, all right. But Gary Dickerson from AMAT was really on board. I thought he told us such a good story, and no one listened.
You know, what is at an all-time high today is Exxon. As J.P. Morgan last night said, our commodities team is looking at $6 gas. If that happens, that's going to weigh on their inflation outlook.
Stock's up 52% this year. Obviously, Chevron also up dramatically.
I got to do a documentary about what's going on at Exxon.
And they're benefiting from the rise in the core commodity.
Are they happy there, David? I mean, do they know when you talk to them that this is halcyon days for Exxon?
Yes, but they're also very measured at Exxon, I think, in terms of, okay, you know, oil prices are here right now, but 2 years ago they were here, and we have to play over the long term. The real question becomes, given the prodigious amounts of cash flow these businesses are going to be gushing, how do they allocate? And, you know, how much more can they really put towards opportunities they see in terms of low carbon solutions in the case of Exxon, or reducing carbon in the case of Chevron, however you want to talk about it. Or, you know, it's an opportunity set at this point, and it may be that it's fully funded given the opportunity set. And to your point, then what do you do with the excess cash?
You give it to the shareholders.
You're not putting it back in the ground significantly to increase production over a long period of time. So your shareholders want it back.
They're getting 7, 8, 9%. I mean these are the
buybacks
highest yielding
and
stocks.
The dividend increases
these
could
are
be
great
prodigious.
Stocks. These are great stocks. Now, I hope, David, on June 23rd at 8 p.m.
Thank you, Jim, for remembering.
Yeah, I think that Exxon is the story of the era, because it turns out that for $13 million, you got on the board of Standard Oil.
Yeah, Exxon is an incredible story. We've had incredible access to the company, which nobody has ever gotten. And we are very excited to share that with everybody.
Are you even been with the two plants that he has?
I've been everywhere, man.
Are you going to Guyana?
I went to Guyana.
You went to Guyana?
Yeah, I went to the Permian.
How many shots did you
went to Corpus Christi. I've been all over.
Permian.
I'm like Johnny Cash.
There was a time where Zoom's market cap was bigger than Exxon, and today Exxon's is more than 10 times Zoom.
Who's Zoom and who? Yeah. Okay. I got to tell you, what? Eric Yuan, who has done such a great job, and it just doesn't matter. Because Zoom, this Teams, I've been using Teams, I've been WebEx. I can't really get on WebEx. I'm sorry, Chuck. I'm always kicked off of WebEx.
But Exxon is helping out. Energy, of course, Dow's up 220. And we're back to 39.35. Let's get to Bob Pisani. Hey, Bob.
Good morning, guys. Happy Friday. So nice open, 5-1 advancing the declining stocks on the S&P 500. We sort of had a trading range in the last 2 weeks, 3,900 to 4,100. VIX is back below 30. I think that's significant. Look at the sectors. The guys were talking about energy. It's been a consistent market leader. That's up today. Materials are up. We had some news out of China. They're making cuts in their 5-year loan prime rate. That's going to help stimulate the Chinese economy. The Hang Seng was up 3%. China's on an upswing right now. Tech's holding up pretty well. And consumer staples up, but still lagging on the week. That's been a big story. It has been a topsy-turvy week. I just want to show you momentum indicators of what's going on here. So big momentum, stuff that's still strong. Energy has been the most consistent sector throughout the whole year. But China's on a little mini upswing. China was terrible all throughout March and April on these lockdowns. The Chinese stock market just fell apart. It's been coming off of the lows in the last 2 weeks as they're talking finally about bringing Shanghai out of a lockdown. Meantime, it's the exact opposite for everything else. The consumer staples sector was a market leader until a week ago and has just fallen apart. So now the momentum in that has just gone the other direction. REITs, another market leader up until 2 weeks ago, has also fallen apart. This is what bear markets look like. The stuff that was doing so well and kept holding up, the consumer staples, everyone thought it was safe. REITs, everyone thinks, you know, good business, still fell apart. Now, there's two sectors that are left that are out there. One, as the guys have been referencing, is energy, not just new high on Exxon, but Chevron is the best performing stock in the Dow Jones Industrial Average right now. It's up 44% this year. All the refiners, Marathon Petroleum, every single day, new high, all the other refiners, and Conoco and Devon, these are called high beta energy stocks, always consistently also on the new high list. That's continuing to hold up well. The other sector is big pharma. Most of the big pharma stocks are only a few percentage points off their 52-week high. Here you go. Merck, Bristol Myers, Johnson & Johnson, Eli. Remember, the S&P is down almost 20%. So these stocks are comparative stalwarts. Notice I don't have biotech on there. That's not part of this. It's big pharma that's been holding up really well. And this is where a lot of people are hanging out. Merck consistently hit new highs in the last 52 weeks. So the bear people keep messaging me, okay, Bob, they're going to circulate through the pharma and the energy stocks. That's going to be the next 2 seconds. That's how you know we're finally going to hit bottom when these two start falling apart. I don't know. All I can tell you is those two groups, energy and big pharma, continue to hold up well. Meantime, you want to talk about confusing signals. TJX and raw stores definitely seem rather confusing to me, but you should see what's going on. You see them both down here. But I want to just point out the luxury sector because we had some very interesting comments from Gildo Zegna. He runs Zegna over in Europe, of course. Yesterday, he kept talking about the strong business in China and the U.S. Here's what he said. God bless America. America is doing tremendous. I don't believe in a recession in America, or if there is one, I don't believe that our customers will be hit by the recession. LVMH was also making very bullish comments about luxury in the U.S. and China. Here's the problem I have. Did you see Richemont? They just had their earnings. Now, Richemont is the competitor to LVMH and Zegna. They had, look, it's down 13%. It trades over in Switzerland. So what happened here, Carl, was they had very good sales. The sales were strong, but the net income was way below expectations. They seem to be having the same problems about everybody else with strong top line colliding with high costs. You see that stock is trading down. That's a new 52-week low for Richemont, and they own Cartier. So there's the competitors. Again, lots of confusion out there. Carl, back to you.
All right, Bob. Well put. Bob Pisani, thanks. As we go to break, take a look at the Treasuries and the bond report. Kind of a light day for macro. We'll get the Baker Hughes rig count later on. But overall, attention being paid to inflation around the world. In Japan, for example, core inflation beat the BOJ target for the first time in 7 years. Got the 10-year back below 2.84. Well, we knew some of these April end quarters in retail were going to be key this week, but just look at these historic declines for the week. Worst S&P laggards, Target, Ross Stores, Bed Bath, Dollar Tree, Walmart. The list goes on, all in retail, except for maybe Cisco, down about 14. But that's going to be the theme of this important week. Dow's up 162. Jim, what's on Matt tonight?
I've been featuring the utilities. That's something Constellation, which is nuclear. Tonight is Bob Blue, the Dominion, which, by the way, has a big LNG business. So we got to stay close. I think nuclear power could make a comeback. I think nuclear power. I think could make
a comeback. Just in Europe, but
just
here
in Europe
as well.
I think that we could be building small form factor nukes, and that it's happening. We're getting Jennifer Granholm really pushing for it.
Yeah, apparently we're not going to rely on Venezuela, according to what she said this morning or yesterday. So, got to looking for other alternatives.
The largest repository of oil in the world, and they just wrecked it. Guys, I want everyone to have a great weekend. I am planting this weekend, so do not bother me.
Okay.
All right. I know you want to bother me. I am putting in my tomato plants, so stop it.
All right, I'll leave you alone.
We'll be looking for pictures, Jim.
Oh, yeah. Mezcal and tomato plants. It's never
always in a suit. Man gardens with a tie.
I'm going to do it. I'm going to garden in a Brioni just for you. Okay?
150 count.
Okay. Yeah, this is an Hermes gardening tie.
We'll see you at 6, Mad Money, 6 p.m. Eastern time. We'll take a break. Dow's up 140. Back in a moment.
You've been listening to the opening hour of CNBC's Squawk on the Street.
CNBC has quick and easy to understand business news updates at the open, midday, and close every weekday. Markets, money, and more from Wall Street to Main Street. I'm CNBC's Jessica Ettinger. Follow and listen to CNBC Business News Updates wherever you get your podcasts.